Hi, this is Catherine from Belle Rouge. You're listening to Melting Pot on KPFK 90.7 FM Los Angeles, 98.7 FM Santa Barbara, and all over the world at kpfk.org.
You're listening to KPFK's Melting Pot, and it is my distinct pleasure to welcome Lacera into our studios. How are you guys doing?
Good. How are you?
Doing really good. Really happy to have you here. A couple 7 inches of full-length record coming out a little bit later, I think in February, and a lot of buzz around you, and really nice to have you in the studios. And you're going to perform some songs for us?
Yes, we will.
Okay, so I'll throw it over to you for a couple songs right now. This is Lacera here on KPFK's Melting Pot. That was Lacera here on KPFK's Melting Pot, performing live in our studios. And they're going to take a little breather for a second and do this interview. Katie, I think most people would probably know you from Vivian Girls. Mm-hmm. This is a new project. It seems like a really new project, though already a fair amount of recordings. Could you tell me a little bit how it came together?
Lacera started kind of by accident a year ago when I had some time off tour, Vivian Girls tour. So I was home at my parents' house for 2 weeks with nothing to do. So I decided to write a lot of songs. Mm-hmm. So I just wrote a bunch of songs. And one night, my friend was online, Brady from Seattle, Brady Hall. And I sent him like a song or two. And I was like, what do you think of my new songs? And he was like, these are good songs. I want to re-record them all and we should make an album out of them. And so I was like, all right. So Brady, while I was on Vivian Girls tour, Brady re-recorded all the music at his home studio. And then in April, I had a week off Vivian Girls tour. So I flew to Seattle, finished all the vocals. And then our friends who live in Seattle and work at Hardly Art Records heard the record. They were like, oh, we really like this. Can we put it out? And I said, yes. So the band kind of happened sort of just very naturally and very quickly.
Very, very quickly.
Yeah.
A lot of bands take a fair amount of time to get things together, but it was like almost like that.
Yeah, everything kind of just fell into place really easily.
Wow. Now, there's some really like very sweet sounding music on this album, but they're not many like sweet songs, at least lyrically. Like, I guess more kind of bittersweet might be a way to describe it. No, like really happy love songs that would mix with how light and airy the music is for a lot of it. Maybe dove into love, but was that kind of by design to have that like juxtaposition?
Yeah, I think that I have a hard time writing happy love songs that sound like happy and nice. I think when I write music and if it sounds happy and nice, I think I subconsciously make the lyrics kind of angry and evil as a way to kind of balance out the prettiness of the music. And so actually on the album, the happiest, like peppiest, nicest sounding songs are all hate songs. And the two songs that are really slow and sad sounding are the only two nice songs, like happy love songs on the album.
Huh. Why do you think that is? I mean, you don't strike me as like a really depressing kind of person. So,
I don't know. When it comes to thinking about, like, you know, ex-boyfriends and things, those lyrics just seem to pour right out of me. I don't have to really think about it very much. Just happens so instantly.
Huh. That you must have had like a really, really fun time then with the video for Never Come Around, putting together.
Well, that video was Brady Hall's idea, and because his main job is like videographer. He does videos. And that was his idea. And I was skeptical at first. I was like, oh, people are going to think I'm a psycho. But then we did it and it came out really cool. And it is fun. That song, Never Come Around, is about a mean ex-boyfriend. So it's nice to make a video where I kind of murder a lot of guys.
Uh-huh.
It's cool. I'm into it.
Aside from murder, it seems like there are a lot of matters of the heart. Kind of going throughout all the different songs on the full length record and also the 7 inches before that. Was that kind of by design? I mean, you kind of talked about how in the songwriting process, all this stuff just kind of poured out, but was it that you, with this project Lacera, that you really felt like you wanted to kind of have things on a theme?
Actually I didn't plan it out at all, that way. Because I didn't even know this would be an album when I wrote all the songs. But later on, when we were doing vocals and like listening back to the final record, I realized that there were several themes on the record that I did not even recognize when I was writing it, like hearts.
Mm-hmm.
I think the word heart is in like four different songs.
Yeah, yeah.
And kind of like a way to play between the physical, you know, physical heart inside and more of a loving, you know, literary heart.
Mm-hmm.
So I try to, you know, talk about both kinds of hearts.
Yeah, that was one of the things that struck me when I was listening to it, kind of the difference between songs that are about heartbreak as opposed to like heartbreaking songs. Like there's some songs that are really just like heartbreakingly beautiful, but they're not really necessarily about a broken heart. And it seems like there is that kind of balance between both of those things throughout the record.
Cool. Thanks.
There's also this really, really clear influence of maybe late 50s and up to mid, early, in the 60s kind of sounds. And that also seems to be quite a theme with a number of female-centered bands in the last year, especially in the last couple of years. Just thinking about all the records from last year, Dum Dum Girls and Best Coast, Frankie Rose and the Owl, just kind of that similar kind of attention to sort of 60s-style melody. Mm-hmm. And what do you think it is about those particular sounds that seem to really grab on to a lot of musicians right now, including yourself?
I don't know. Yeah, definitely a lot of harmonies on the record, as well as with those other bands. I think I was going more for like a choir effect, but I also love 60s girl groups, and that was definitely an inspiration. But I was definitely trying to focus on choirs. Like, I want to be able to one day perform this album with a backing choir, and I think that would be really fun.
That would be cool, yeah.
And doable. I think most of the songs are built on background harmonies.
Mm-hmm.
I don't really know why it's kind of resurged. I don't know. The harmonies are the best.
Maybe so.
They're really
brilliant. I mean, they're indestructible harmonies. You really can't mess with them.
No.
Yeah. Another thing from reading some interviews with you kind of in the run-up to this particular record and also with Vivian Girls, you talk quite a bit about the influence of Riot Girl, and particularly listening to Julie Ruin, Kathleen Hanna in the early days. Could you talk maybe a little bit about that influence?
Before I was 20, I had never been in a band. I played saxophone in like the school band when I was in middle school, but I don't think that counts. But when it comes to, you know, punk and starting your own band, like in your basement, I didn't do that until I was about 20. And that was because I thought I didn't know how to play guitar or bass or anything.
Mm-hmm.
And then I heard Julie Ruin when I was like 19, I guess. And she has this song called The Punk Singer. And it's four chords that just repeat the entire song. No, there's no bridge. There's no chorus verse, just one part, but then and it's so easy to play, yet her melody is so good and catchy. I realized that song was like perfect. It's like a perfect song, and that's kind of when I realized, I was like, oh man, if you just play like four chords in a row over and over and over with a melody on top, it can be amazing. That's kind of what opened my eyes to being able to do this myself, definitely.
One of the things that I've noticed kind of around kind of the differences between Riot Girl movement in the 90s and kind of this new really amazing movement, it seems like, I mean, there are always a lot of female centered bands around, I suppose, but it just seems like we've gotten like this really great wave of bands in the last couple of years. That with Riot Girl, there was almost always a very explicitly political theme in a lot of the music. It seems like it's less so now, but at the same time, I wonder if just being either in a group with all women or that's female-centered is in itself still a political act, the way that kind of the music industry is and how most bands are these days.
Well, I think, yeah, people try to, you know, just be like, oh, it's a band, it's a girl band, a boy band. Nobody ever says it's a boy band, whereas, like, if you are a band of girls, you are a girl band.
Mm-hmm.
Almost always people describe it that way. So I guess it is kind of still different to have a band that's all girls, whereas there's a lot of bands out there that are all boys, but they're not called boy bands ever since the late 90s.
Mm-hmm.
Boy bands are over, I guess.
Yeah. And there was kind of, I mean, that whole like the boy band thing was almost like that was a like a term of derision, like they weren't real bands.
Yeah,
in a way.
Yeah, definitely. Poor boy bands.
Yeah.
But yeah, it definitely still is a thing that, you know, all girls is definitely still a topic of conversation.
Mm-hmm.
When discussing a band. Usually, like on the internet, especially when a band is all girls, the discussion among anonymous people on the internet is usually what they look like. Whereas, like, that's usually not the case with male bands.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. How do you feel about the buzz that's been, you know, starting to build about La Sera? Does it remind you at all about kind of the experience early on with Vivian Girls?
No, it doesn't really remind. It's very different to me because I never, when Vivian Girls was getting buzz, I didn't really know what that was. Like, I didn't know what Buzz was, and yeah. I didn't know what, like, websites were. Well, I knew what websites were, but I didn't know what, like, music websites and, like, the importance that they play in a band's yeah. career. I didn't know that at all. So, like, you know, Pitchfork would give us Best New Music, and I was like, okay, cool, whatever. Like, I didn't realize that was, like, kind of a cool thing to have happen. Like, we kind of just took it day by day, and we really had no idea what we were doing. Whereas now I have more of a you know, experience with it, and I understand what those things mean. And I kind of miss not knowing, you know, being naive about it. I kind of like wish I could be naive about that sort of thing these days. But I think I've experienced too much on the Vivian Girls roller coaster.
Speaking about that, well, maybe not speaking too much about the Vivian Girls roller coaster, but talking about Vivian Girls, one of the things that as a fan of Vivian Girls, I'm a little worried about, it just seems like you guys are involved in so many other projects. Like, I worry that is something going to happen to Vivian Girls? I mean, like, I know that you're either working on a new record or, like, there's a new record from Vivian Girls coming soon.
It's actually the new record is going to be announced tomorrow. Oh, what day of the week is it? It's Friday. Probably, like, Monday. It's coming out in April. And, yeah, there's definitely a new record. I think the thing that about Vivian Girls and the roller coaster of Vivian Girls is that the reason why Vivian Girls we've done so much, and we're on, like, our third record in, you know, 2 years or whatever, and the reason why everyone who's been in Vivian Girls, like, you know, Frankie Rose or Allie, who's now in Best Coast, and the one thing that really brought us all together was work ethic. We love keeping busy, so it would be weird for us to just stop making music, because from the very beginning of playing in Vivian Girls, we've all just had this go, go, go attitude of just, like, making as many songs as possible and having as much fun and doing as much as we can. So, of course, we're going to keep going forever.
I have the kind of very different or somewhat different side projects that you and Cassie and work Fiona, who's now in the group, you know, you've done. Has that kind of come back and kind of changed a little bit? What's going on with Vivian Girls?
I don't think. I don't think the side projects have changed Vivian Girls' plans at all. But I don't really know how it would have affected Vivian Girls particularly. I think I'll know that more a couple years down the road. You know, hindsight on that. And while you're in it, right now it's hard to kind of know what is going on, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. Another thing I was really interested in finding out from you was just because now this is kind of like the second really kind of like buzzy moment with a lot of like indie blogs and kind of like an indie music kind of scene for you. I was just wondering how you measure success. Like, is it just something that's very focused on kind of your ability to put out music that you like and kind of grow as a songwriter and a musician, or do you want, like, you know, arena rock tour, that kind of thing? You know, just what ultimately would be like a really successful music career for you?
I think the ultimate music career would be just continuing what I've been doing for the past couple of years. I definitely don't have any you know, dreams of playing arena rock. I think being able to maintain the way that I live now for as long as possible would be the ultimate career in music, which is just, you know, getting by, being able to put out music, having labels that are very nice and supportive, that keep wanting to release my music. That's kind of all I would ever want. I also really want to tour forever. And so being able to tour and have people come to the shows and, you know, watch and, like, you know, enjoy it. And that's also very important to me.
Well, it seems like you guys are, like, touring forever.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's like you tour forever with Vivian Girls and then you take a break, but your break is touring all over the place with La Sera or with another group. I mean, so that doesn't burn you out, just like that constant touring?
Sometimes it burns me. Sometimes it burns me out. But I wouldn't have it any other way.
Yeah.
Yeah. For now. You know, in a couple more years, maybe I'll have a different answer to that question.
But it's just a great experience to kind of play this music and play it in front of people.
Yeah, I like playing live the best, I think. of all the different ways to play.
So we know you're going to be playing live a number of places in Europe really, really, really soon.
Yeah.
What are some other plans for Lacera or for Vivian Girls in the near future?
Well, this weekend, in 3 days, we fly to Europe. We're going to be there for 3 weeks. Then we get back, and the next day I fly to Miami because Vivian Girls is playing that Bruise Cruise.
Mm.
Have you heard about that?
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be crazy. And then the day after Bruise Cruise, I fly to New York. And then Lacera is going to fly to New York and meet me there. And then we're going to tour down with Tennis to South by Southwest. That's March. And then the day after South by Southwest, Vivian Girls is going to fly to Spain and do a Spanish tour.
Oh, wow.
And then the day after that, we fly to New York. And then we start basically a six-week U.S. tour, half of which is with Black Lips. And then that brings us all the way to about late May with being home for 3 days in between, you know. And then summer, I'm not sure yet.
It's a crazy pace that you girls are going on right now.
Yeah.
You know, but it's really great for us, you know, because there's more and more music, and it just seems like you're continuing. It's almost kind of hard to remember or believe that, you know, a couple years ago, it was like it wasn't anything. You guys weren't playing anything for the most part, you know. And just in two and a half years, we're now going to have 3 records from Vivian Girls, almost 2 records from Lacera. It's a pretty crazy pace.
Yeah. We like writing songs.
We like hearing them. Do you think we can hear a couple more?
Yes, definitely.
Okay. Our guests in the studio have been Lacera, and just going to throw it back to them for a couple more songs.
1, 2, 3, 4.
Bye.
You just heard music from Lacera recorded live right here in our studios. Thank you guys so much for coming in.
Thank you so much for having us.
And it's my pleasure. Hopefully we can get you and Cassie and Fiona to come in at some point, either to play or maybe guest DJ or something like
definitely.
That.
Oh, definitely. That sounds like fun.
All right. Thanks again.
Thank you so much.
So here now is some music from Lacera. This is from a brand new 7-inch just came out just in the last week or so on Hardly Art. The full length will be coming out at the end of February, I think. I want to say around February 18th is when the full length record from Lacera, self-titled, also on Hardly Art, will be coming out. But there is 7-inch, and this is their cover of Dedicated to the One I Love that you're hearing right now on KPFK and Melting Pot.
While I'm far away from you, my baby, I know it's hard for you, my baby, because it's hard for me, my baby, in the darkest hours just before dawn. Each night before you go to bed, my baby,
no. You look so sad. Did it break your heart? Gee, that's too bad. I guess now you see.
Music from Chim Maya here on KPFK's Melting Pot from a self-titled record from 1971 on the Polydor record label. The name of that song was E Por Você Que Vivo, which I think translate from Portuguese that it's for you that I live. Something along those lines from Chim Maya. Also in said music from The Intruders, Sad Girl was the name of the song that I thankfully got to the proper speed before things really started going. We also had music from Barbara Green in that set. Young Boy, the name of the track, from a 45 on the Renee record label. And start things off with music from Lacera, who were gracious enough to come in and record a performance and interview with us on Friday just before heading out for some shows in Europe, which actually, I think they're probably en route to Europe as we speak at this moment. So big thanks once again to them, and a real big thanks to Stan Mizrahi, who did the sound for that, and excellent work from him and everyone else involved. At the top of the set, you heard something from their latest 7-inch, which has just been released by Hardly Art, their cover of Dedicated to the One I Love. Got one last set for you before we head on out and Folk Scene comes in. Going to start it off with some more kind of new music. Don't have generally too much new music when we do these vinyl shows at the end of the month, but I do have a couple of things in addition to that, Lacera. Here's something brand new from Dunion, one of my favorite groups, a new 7-inch put out on Third Man Records just recently, a couple of tracks, one for each side. And Oga Nasa Moon is the name of this particular track, once again from Dunion, here on KPFK's Melting Pot.
Thank you. can see him and hear him in this world every day. Satan is real, working with power. He can tempt you and lead you astray.
I attended service at a little church in the country not long ago. A prayer was led by an old country preacher who then raised his hands as everyone stood and sang, "My God is real." A warm breeze through the open windows brought in the smell of new-mown hay in a nearby field, and the singing of birds could be heard in the moment of silence as the preacher opened his Bible to read. And then a little old man stood up, bent with age, his hair thin and white, and said, "Preacher, tell them that Satan is real too. You can hear him in songs that give praise to idols and sinful things of this world. You can see him in the destruction of homes torn apart. I know that Satan is real, for once I had a happy home. I was loved and respected by my family. I was looked upon as a leader in my community. And then Satan came into my life. I grew selfish and unneighborly. My friends turned against me. And finally, my home was broken apart. My children took their paths into a world of sin. Yes, preacher, it's sweet to know that God is real, and to know that in him all things are possible. And we know that heaven is a real place where joys shall never end. But sinner friend, if you're here today, Satan is real too. And hell is a real place, a place of everlasting punishment.
Satan is real, working in spirit. You can see him and hear him in this world. Can tempt you and lead you astray.
Well, you just heard music from the Leuven Brothers here on KPFK's Melting Pot, a little tribute to Charlie Leuven, who just passed away a couple days ago, three or four days ago, passed away at the age of 83. And you heard them with his brother Ira, Satan is Real, originally on a record of the same name, I think from 1960. Maybe the greatest gospel country record of all time, but I pulled it off of a collection on Capitol from 1973 called Great Gospel Singing of the Leuven Brothers. And rest in peace, finally reunited with his brother. So there you go. Big influence on Graham Parsons, who you heard with the Flying Burrito Brothers. Sin City, the name of the track from the first record they put out. And start things off with Dunyan, a brand new 7-inch on Third Man Records, Jack White's label, and apparently, I think, produced by Jack White. Oga Nasa Mun, the name of the track from Dunyan. And that's all I got for you guys for this week. I want to thank you very much for tuning in. Thanks once again to Music Man Miles of Breakestra for coming in and playing some records, and to La Sarah for coming in. And I will not be with you next week. I'm actually going to take a little Super Bowl break, but Ali Alexa is going to be spinning tunes for you and may, in fact, have some tickets to that Breakfast show that Miles was talking about. So definitely tune in next week. Folk Scene's up next. And if you need to get a hold of me, you can do so emailing me at michael@meltingpotblog.com. And that is also the name of the blog, which I'll have that La Sarah performance and the audio for this show up sometime later on tomorrow, meltingpotblog.com. Y'all take care. I'll see you guys when I see you again, probably a couple weeks. And Folk Scene's up next. Bye-bye.